Good morning, everyone. Morning. Nice to meet you. For the ones who doesn't know me, my name is Jonas, and I'm 32 years old today. 5 years of born again. No, not today. Today's not my birthday. It's Nicholas. No, I was born in March. No, but I've completed 5 years of born again, and I'm from Brazil. 5 years ago, I was a hopeless person, dreamless person, had no idea where my life was going to lead me. And nowadays I can praise the Lord for being here. I didn't imagine that it was going to bring me to Australia. Whoa, that was my dream. And the message today is a very interesting message. And I would like to start introducing the theme of the message. Okay? Let me just see if I can switch on there. There we go. Beautiful. Until we reach the place of victory. If you would like to open your Bibles for me, please, on the Psalm number 66, we are going to read from the verse number 10 until the verse 12. So we're going to read the Psalm number 66, please, from verse number 10 to verse 12. And the theme of our message is, until reach the place of victory. Interesting, Tammy. I have a simple question for you guys, and I believe that I know the answer already, but I'll ask you guys just to get your involvement, okay? I'm a teacher since 2005, and I've been working with people for a long time, and I enjoy working with people. That's my life. I tried to do something different and work in an account center that didn't work at all right? So my job is to work with people, to inspire people. I believe that God gave these gifts to me. It's not for me to push my pride up or to pride myself or to be proudful for, but it's something that I can praise the Lord for. So, the theme is, until you reach the place of victory. And my question is, who wants to be victorious in life here? Yeah, but just the hands. I want to hear the noise because I'm from Brazil. You're Brazilians, you're very, very noisy people. So, ask again, who wants to reach the place of victory here? Hey, perfect, beautiful question. That's easy answer. Everyone wants to reach the place of victory. Yes, that's awesome. So we're going to read the scripture and we're going to get started with our lesson for today. Okay? So Psalm number 66 from verse number 10 unto 12. That says, "For you, God, tested us, refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. You went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." Heavenly Father, as I speak right now, I would like to let your Holy Spirit use my body as a vessel. Use my mouth as your mouth, my Father. Use my heart as your heart, my Father, to speak through lives today, my Lord. As I'm here to serve, my Father. No more than that, just to serve. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity. And that's what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, until you reach the place of victory, I will start with a very interesting statement. Yes, the question was, who wants to live a victorious life? Everyone, yeah, it was beautiful, nice and easy. But I have a bad news and a good news today. Oh, come on, bad news. No one wants to hear bad news in the church. Unfortunately, I have a bad news for you guys. Okay, the bad news is to reach the place of victory is not an easy path. Okay, and I will share a little bit of some bad news you are going to have. And you finish with the good news towards the end, okay? Simple. Now, my question would be, which one would like to hear first? The people say, bring on the bad news, it's easier. Then later on, the good news make us feel happy. So I will follow that same order. Okay, simple. So I read the scripture again, just for us to memorize the verses, okay? Just to be sure that you understood what the Psalm number 66 is telling us. Okay? So for you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. You ran through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance or of victory. My first bad news is for you guys is, I'm not going to talk about refined like silver, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the elements of God's test. Okay? And the first element of God's test, I'm not going to talk right now about the silver, but I'm going to jump to the second one that it says, you brought us into prison. Woo. Hang on a second. The Psalm number 66 is telling that God tested us, that God brought us into prison. Hey, what does that mean? I thought that was the enemy, was the devil. Sorry, guys, there's a very, very big misunderstanding in relation to a Christian life. When I was born again, I started studying the Bible. For me, everything was the devil. I hit my car today, I was the devil. I did something wrong in my job, that was the devil. Something did something wrong for me, that was the devil, that was the devil. You always blame the devil. Hey, but hang on a second. And the Bible is telling us right now that God tested us. So why God tested us? That was the main question. Let's read these verses for the first time. My question was, God, why do you test us? Why? What's the reason? Why do we have to go to the prison? Why do you send us to the prison? And there's a very interesting point he gave to me. God is just amazing. He's just amazing. He knows what he's doing, and he knows what he does. And he does what he does. Why? Because he loves us. So he brought us to prison. Why? What is a prison? Prison is a place where the person needs to be. When the person does something wrong, the person is sent to that specific place to sit down for a certain period of time and reflect about their lives. We're in the prison. We're alone, like that gentleman over there. You're alone. You're supposed to be alone in prison. You're supposed to think of what you have done wrong. You're supposed to analyze yourself. You're supposed to sit down over there for that certain period of time and you say, all right, I recognize I was wrong. I have my limitations. I have what I need to have at the moment, but I'm not perfect. But I can do better next time. As soon as I leave the prison, I can be a better person. So God sent us to prison sometimes in life for us to sit down and reflect of what we are doing, to understand our limitations and also to humble ourselves. Woo. Humble ourselves. The biggest enemy of the human being is not the devil, I think. In my whole life, I could see that our biggest enemy is our pride. I can do everything that I want to do. I can do everything on my own. I don't need the help from anyone. I saw a lot of people struggling like that I'm still seeing today. And we are all human beings. That's fine to be like that. But God wants to be humble. Because the ones who exalt themselves, you'll be humbled. But the ones who humble themselves, you'll be exalted. So when he sent us to prison, he's for us to say, listen, God, I need you. Alone, I cannot do everything on my own. I can't do anything on my own. I need you, Father. I need you. And Psalm 40, 17 says that, Lord, I don't have nothing, but I have you. Yeah? That's the main thing. You are the one who gives me what I need. That's what the Psalm 17 says in a very brief way. Okay? So the first element of God's test is he brought us into prison. And that stops from there. No. What happens? I left the prison. Beautiful. I'm back into the society. That's awesome. What happens next? Second one. Ooh, comes another heavy one. I'm a personal trainer. And for me, my job is to help people to reach their body that they want to reach. Ne? The external part. I work a lot with the external part of the body. And during my job, I try to work on the inside. What happens a lot nowadays? Nowadays, the people are doing a lot of plastic surgery, Botox in the face and everything. The people have choices in relation to that. We cannot judge. You are not here to judge what the people do. But the main thing is, you can take care of the external part of your body, but if you don't take care of the internal part of your body, this box is not going to work properly. Simple as it is. All right, so God, he laid burdens on our back, but God laid burdens on our back. Yes, he does that. Sorry to tell you that, guys. My apologies for that, but that's what I have to say. Yes, he does that. The people that I train, they only reach the results if they work harder, if they push heavier weights. If the people want to get bigger muscles, these guys have to carry massive loads of weights. If they want to lose weight, they have to take care of their diet in a very strict way and run as fast as they can and do as much exercise as they can. So that's my job. And that's not that different with God. Why? Because when you have to carry some heavy burdens on our back, that makes us stronger. Let me give you another life example for you. You're preparing yourself to go to university. Beautiful. What do you have to do? You want to get to that medicine course. Yes, that's what I want to do. That's my life. What the people do, they sit down, you know, they study hard. Okay? The burden is big. The challenge is big for you. But what happens is you sit down and study. You are working your workplace. You want to reach the next level in your job. You want to reach the management level. You are just an administrative assistant. You want to be a manager. What do? You work hard. You carry a heavy burden on your back. You do your best to reach that point. And that's not different with God. Why? What happens is you can't recognize power without pressure. What does that mean? You can't recognize power without pressure. I'm going to give you another example. All right? You've been offered a next position in your job, and what happened is the boss says, listen, I need 1,500 people to buy your product, and you have 2 weeks. If you don't reach this goal, you won't have that position. What do you do? Oh, yes, I believe that work hard. If you really want to do something, work hard for it. There's no difference with the kids. If you tell the kids, if you go well at school, if you do well during the whole year, at the end of the year, Christmas time, I'm going to give a very special gift. What the kids do? Well, they work hard. Yes, am I right or wrong? Yes, pretty much like this. So what happened is you can't recognize power without pressure. And the Bible tells us, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outreaches them all. So this moment that we're going right now, this pressure that we're receiving in life in relation to your personal life, your personal issues, what's happening with you at the moment you can't control. You just went out to prison and said, Lord, I need you, that's fine. But now I have your life under a big pressure. Remember that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And the next scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed in every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. So getting back to the point is, God laid burdens on our back, But what happened is, you're not going to be destroyed. That's for your goodness. That's to make you stronger. That's to make you work harder. That's to make you think harder. That's to make you stronger and to go forward in your life path. And point number three, the third element of God's test. Okay, you went to the prison and you went to them. You got some heavy burden on your back. And the third test is to let people ride over your heads. So look to the person on your side and ask the person on your side a simple question. Okay? Will you be defeated in life? Ask this question to the person on your side. Shake the person. Say, good morning. Hey, do you think that you're going to win every single time? Ask this question to the person. Look at the person in the eyes and say, do you think that every time you're going to have victory? The Bible doesn't tell us that we're going to have victory every single time. But God tells us that we will reach the place of victory. But before, we will be defeated. Why you're going to be defeated? Okay? That leads us back to the self-reflection, to the auto-exam. Sometimes you make a mistake. I know I made a mistake. That's okay. Next time I do it right. And you make a mistake again and again and again and again. Until you learn the lesson, you're not going through that phase. Okay? So that's the main thing. So you let people ride over our heads. It's also to give us experience. And I'll share a little bit about my story back in Brazil. Simple. I was working as a personal trainer in a company back in Brazil. 1,500 clients. Ooh, a lot of people. Yes. I used to train a lot of people over there. I was working hard and I've been offered a position as a manager. And I thought, God, I'm born again now. Your word says I'm victorious. I'm going to be the head of the company. Yes, I wanted that position for me. And while I was praying, God said, Jonas, that job's not yours. Us. I was so mad. I cried so much. I didn't speak with God for 3 weeks. I said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You don't want to give me what I wanted. I want that job. That job is mine. I worked so hard for that. That's my job. No, that job's not yours, Jonas. Simple and very straight answer. That job's not yours. I have something better to you. I said, but I want that job. Work so hard. I love what I'm doing right there. Jonas, I have something better to you. That's all. I'm not going to say anything anymore. And then quiet. 1 year later, I was here in Australia. A way better situation, a way better position. Amazing. I'm living my dream. My dream was to go overseas to learn to speak another language. He fulfilled something even greater than I was expecting. My idea here in Australia was to learn some English and let's go back home and start where I stopped from. And I'm here today for 4 years helping the church with the youth and also being able to speak in front of the church. That's a blessing. So God can see our future, but you can't see at the moment. And when we're under pressure, when we're under prison, when the people are actually stepping us and making us feel bad, you know, you can't see the blessing that's coming for us. So that's very interesting point. So God leads us for us to give us experience. Today, if God says, Jonas, no, that's not what I don't have for you. I know, Lord, I know that you have something better because I already proved it. He didn't need to prove. However, he teach me. And I have the experience today that's going to make a massive difference, not just in my life, but in every single person's life. Okay? And that's for the personal growth. Today, I'm wiser than 5 years ago. In 10 years' time, I'll be way wiser than today. That's why I like to watch the elderly people, because I like to watch them, because I can learn from them. Their wisdom is, I love it. I like to see how they talk, how they walk, how they approach the people. That's amazing. And my respect for the elderly people is great, because the lesson comes from them. So when I see my friends back in Brazil disrespecting their grandparents, I feel very bad. When I see kids here in Australia treating the elderly people on the street in a very bad way, I feel sad because they don't know what they're doing. The example is there. It's hard to listen to them. Yes, it is. But however, there's so much lessons over there. If I could, I could spend 10 hours just to listen to them, to learn something from them. And how we learn in life? Walk with someone lower than us? No, walk with someone who can teach you something. That's why I walk every single day with the Lord, because every single day, He's elderly, He's eternal. Yesterday, today, and forever, He's still the same, and He's still teaching me what we need. All right, so the main thing is, personal growth leads us to one thing, theory versus practice. What does that mean? Theory versus practice. The Bible give us a lesson for the day. It's our daily bread. All the informations that we need for life are on the Bible. Simple. That's a simple book. No, it's not a simple book. It's not easy to read at all. But that's the Word of God. Beautiful. One day we did a lesson with the kids on the Sunday school, talking about their spiritual growth. It's like nutrition. What does that mean, Jonas? Like nutrition. When you eat a lot and don't exercise, you store the weight in your body, you end up becoming overweight. Simple as it is, okay? Second part is, if you don't eat at all, what happens is you don't have energy in your body. You lose all the energy that you have, you might die from starvation. Okay? But if you eat the food and you put the exercise, what happens is these two things become what? Energy, which gives you health. Simple statement, okay? I'm not here to judge anyone, please. I'm not here to judge, okay? I'm just leading the theory versus practice. And the same things with the Word of God. Jonas, I read the Bible every single day. I read the Bible in the morning, afternoon, and evening. I read the Bible even when I'm reading, even when I'm sleeping and dreaming. When I wake up on my job, I have the food reading the Bible. I read the Bible every moment. Bible, 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 beautiful. And the life is a mess. Oh, what's going on? What's happening? You read the Bible, have all the information, but if you don't put this into practice, what happens is you are overweighting yourself with lots of information, but you got to put it out. You got to put the information out. Simple as it is. Same thing is, I don't read the Bible, but I believe in God. 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 I believe. Oh, sorry, guys. I'm getting pretty excited here. Sorry for that. All right. Okay, but the main thing is I believe. Yes, woo! Nice. I'm born again. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, but if you don't read the scripture, the enemy comes with you. One enemy is one, boom, takes you away from your path, and you're losing. the battle. Okay, so simple as it is. So what happened is, but if you read the Bible and you put the statements that are in the Bible into practice, bang, the victory is yours. Simple thing. The life is not easy for everyone, for anyone. Yes? What happened is, what can you do when you're having such a hard time? You say, the Bible tells that I'm victorious. If I did something wrong, the Lord forgives me. If I want to reach some place of victory, I pray and the Lord answers me. If I want to reach that next step, you know what I need to do? The Bible tells me that I need to work hard. I need to take the decision. That's what the Bible says. So as you read the word, use the word of God, we can defeat every single challenge in your life. And what the Bible says in relation to challenges, that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the best example ever. How he defeated the enemy. He was fasting for 40 days and the enemy came to tempt him. And the enemy said, hey, make this stone like bread. And what Jesus Christ did? The word says, man shall not live by bread alone. Boom. The enemy tried to come with another alternative. Tried to tempt Jesus Christ with something different. Hey, you know what? Do one thing, jump from the temple. And God will send angels to save you because the enemy knew the purpose of Jesus Christ's life. He knew what Jesus Christ was about to do for all of us today. And he's going to keep doing until he comes back. And Jesus Christ says, hey, you should not, the word of my Father says, you should not tempt the Lord. And the enemy tried to tempt him again, and he used again the word of God. Simple. He didn't have to fight. He didn't have to have big muscles or something like this. By his knowledge, he put the theory into practice. Jesus Christ is the best example so far. And us, as believers, as followers of Christ, our job is to get the theory and put into practice. Not just in our personal lives, but for the people who doesn't know God. But simple as, but God let us, the people, right over our heads. What does that mean is, you're going to be defeated. The people is going to step over you. The people is going to punch you. It's going to, I don't know, humiliate you. Things in our life is going to happen. But then you can react in different ways. Jesus Christ was beaten, was spit. He was crucified. They tried to kill him. But the death, where was the sting of death? Couldn't hold Jesus Christ down. He came back to life 3 days later. Simple. So nothing will destroy you. You might lose that specific battle, but remember that God is teaching you a lesson. And the point number four. Okay, we just viewed that God takes us into prison. He takes us into laid burdens on our back. Then all of a sudden, let the people ride over our heads. That means you're going to be defeated. And then the fourth element is, went through the fire and water. Awesome. Very interesting stuff. Through the fire and water. Fire and water. When the Bible talks about fire and water, the Bible gives a lot of examples about challenges in life. Examples about water. The people, Hebrew people, reached the Red Sea. They couldn't cross the Red Sea. A massive population couldn't cross the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh was coming to the back. Challenge. God said to Moses, hey, lift up the rod over there. The river is going to open and people will walk through the river in dry land. Simple as it is. Fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right? They decide not to worship some other idol. No, worship the Lord. I'm not going to bow down for that idol. Okay. The king of Nebuchadnezzar, not make that fire 10 times, or no, 7 times hotter than that. And what happened with these guys was, they went through the fire, but God was with them in the fire. That's a very interesting point. Why? That's to maximize our potential. To realize how strong, that is stronger than we can imagine. We went right into the fire. What that means? Well, Lord, that hurts. That's too hard. What's going to happen with you? That's going to make you move. Sometimes you need to take some decisions. But I take that decision tomorrow. I will take that decision tomorrow. Hey, tomorrow. All of a sudden something happens. You know what? I need to take the decision now. Bang, it's done. Simple as it is. That's why God leads us to fire into the water. To maximize your potential. For you to realize how strong that you are. To do things that you've never done before. He gives you wisdom. I went through so many situations in my life. Even here in Australia, there's so many challenges that we face. And that's not going to stop from now. But that's giving us more wisdom to deal with the situations again. and again and again, and also to learn to depend on others. The New Age teaching is whatever you think, you can do whatever you want it, you don't need other people, you are the center of the universe. Nah. God created us not to live alone, but to live in a community. That's why we're here together today. That's why we need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three are one. That's why we need other people in our lives, because alone you cannot carry the things alone. Simple as it is. Jesus Christ wasn't alone. He was doing everything for us, and God was with him. Everyone was with him at the moment. Simple as it is. So we need other people. We need to learn how to depend on others. We need to learn how to ask for help. Sometimes it's hard. Now, if I ask for help, I feel so humiliated. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You got to ask for help. You got to open and say, listen, I'm destroyed. I'm broken. I need some help. And that's not going to kill you. That's going to give you more support. That's going to help other people to bless you. And even someone asks you for help, you can bless other people too. And also, the water and the fire help us to become more vigilant, more aware, and more smart. What does that mean? If you see that you're taking a path that you're going to make the same mistake again, or the white light starts flashing on and say, oh, hang on a second, you're going to do the same mistake again. What do you do? Oh, you become vigilant. Oh, no, I did that mistake already. I'm not going to do that again. You step away and take the other path. God's so intelligent. He takes us. He gives us the wisdom that we need. And it's there in his word, in every single experience of our lives. And the fifth element, the psalm says that he refined us like silver. It's a very interesting, the silver process. Do you guys know how we make the silver? Do you guys know? I have no idea. I just did a very simple research to see how the people process the silver. They get a very big silver stone or something like this, they put into the fire. Whoa, fire again? Yes. And I will call the person who makes the silver the professional, okay? So I'm going to name that person, the gentleman over there, as the professional. What the professional does with the silver? He gets the silver, the material over there, with the formless, empty, I don't know, nice and there's nothing over there, it's just the silver. He puts it into the fire. But he just put it into the fire? No. He has to put in the hottest part of the fire. And while he's putting the hottest part of the fire, the silver starts becoming more liquid. And he starts playing around in the silver to take the shape that he wants to take. And the professional over there keep the eyes always on the silver. Always over there. Always staying at thinking. Why? Because if he takes away the eye from the silver and the silver goes away from the point, it's going to be destroyed. So the professional must be organized the silver. He's working on the silver and everything. So he's taking care, organized the silver on the horse's part of the fire, always on the silver until it's ready. So he puts on the hottest part of the fire. And how the professional knows that the silver is ready? Do you guys know? What's the guess? I don't know. Man, interesting. When it's cold, when it's hot, I don't know, when it's ready. How do the professional knows when the silver is ready? That's why I love God, guys. That's why I love God. Our God is amazing. He is the professional who takes our heart that's formless and empty, and he shapes it. He lays the burdens in our back, takes us into prison. He sends us to the fire, to the water. He do all the process over there, but his eyes are always on us. Always, 24/7, he's always watching us. And when does the professional know that the silver is ready? That's a very good question, eh? Very good point. Maybe all the rubbish is on the top. Very good point. However, there's a more interesting point on that. Yes, when the professional can see himself on the silver. That's amazing. So God is going to lead us to tests and to trials until he is able to see, all right, now he's ready. Go. Nice and easy. You're ready for that task. Simple as it is. So guys, if you face some hard times in life, if you are holding on to something that you wish, you're having that dream, but there's so many things trying to stop you, one thing I can tell you, God is shaping your heart. God is preparing you to receive what you deserve. He cannot give something to you without ready. Give a $100 note in a 2-year-old hand. What the kid is going to do? He's going to eat it, he's going to destroy it, he's going to rasp it. The kid doesn't know what to do. Same as us. Sometimes we want something so badly. However, if you're not ready, you will lose it. I saw so many people in life with everything on their hands, everything, and they lost everything. I was one of them. Before getting to know Jesus Christ, I was a very successful person in Brazil. Lots of money. And all the money was gone with something that wasn't worthy. But now God's preparing me to get everything back again. But now I know how to do it that. Simple as it is. So you're only going to receive the blessing when you're ready. People of Israel, they spent 40 years on the desert in a 40-day journey. That's interesting. And 40 years later, they couldn't reach the land because they wasn't ready. Their heart was too, like a stone, was too hard, you know? But remember, if we're going through some trials right now, remember that God's protecting you. He's shaping you. His eyes are over you the whole time. And where did I get that theory from? I took from the word of my father that tells the truth. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, from chapter 12, from verse 8 into 10, says, they were talking to Paul. Paul, if it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't have received the gospel, the New Testament today, some of the few books of New Testament. But what Paul, the Apostle Paul, went through wasn't easy at all. What Jesus Christ went through wasn't easy. What he done for us, what all the apostles did for us to have the gospel today, it wasn't easy. What all the missionaries do today, pastors, preachers, people, Christian people are facing today to keep living the word of God is not easy at all. And Paul was saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Paul was tired. He was actually defeated. He was beaten. Lots of things happened with him. But what happened? God says to him, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, Paul, I'm going to say every single person's name. If we're going to say your name, sometimes I take the scriptures to myself. I can see God talking to me, say, Jonas, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. What happened is, when I'm weak, you say, Lord, I'm in prison. I need to think what I'm doing. I cannot do this on my own. Father, I need you. Okay? What else? When I'm weak, that means I need to humble myself because I need the Lord. When I'm weak, I'm into fire, into the water. I can't do that situation. That situation is impossible. God, I need you again. Lord, I want to reach that place of victory. Yes, but Lord, I need you with me. And as you go through the process, Lord, that's too hard, I cannot go on. God keeps telling us, keep going. But I'm feeling weak. That's when I'm strong. Because then you're taking yourself away from God, from the hand of, how can I say, from the way that God's work, and you're letting God work in your life. Not taking yourself away from God, please, but taking yourself away from the what's stopping God to work properly, and you're allowing God to work in your life. So when I saw that, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So when I'm having my struggles, what do? Lord, I praise you for the difficulties. I praise you because I have some hard tasks. Sometimes I have no idea what to do. I say, Lord, I praise you for all the things that have been done for me. And to conclude, I would like to finish this simple statement. Be strong when you are weak. Brave when you are scared. And humble when you are victorious, because God will lead you into victory as long as you are alive and firm in His presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.